Good morning again. Good morning. It is really good to see you all. And just personally, I want to say a special greetings to Fuchs' mother. What a joy that she's able to join us today. So welcome. We're glad you. It's been a long, long struggle, and we're glad that you're here. Okay, so this morning, we're going to look at a very familiar verse. But I'd like to look at it in a little different way than maybe you've seen it before. And if you'll forgive me, I'm going to take my jacket off. It is really hot up here. Okay. Here we go. Yeah, you don't have to translate that. So, this weekend, many of you know, my son, Ian, my second oldest, was involved in an accident. His foot slipped under the lawnmower and the blade hit his feet, hit his left foot. Now, many of you are wondering, why would I bring that up when we're obviously going to be talking about Zacchaeus? It's a very good question. It's because, you see, I was not worried about Ian once I saw his foot. Because it was what's called an external wound. I could see it. I knew what damage had been done, and we could evaluate and take care of it. Any doctor will tell you, the wounds that will scare them are the ones they can't see. Like brain trauma or maybe internal bleeding. It's very dangerous because oftentimes they can't even see it on an x-ray. They don't know it's happening until it's too late. You see, a very few of you I would compare to like an open wound, like me. I wear my heart on the sleeve. No one ever wonders how I'm feeling or how I'm doing. It's very obvious on my face. Like I will openly discuss my struggles and the sin that God released me from when I was younger. Like we'll talk about that and it doesn't bother me. Most people, that's not how they are they? Most of us cover up our wounds. Most of us hide the pain and the lostness. We don't want anyone to know. So how do we cover that up? Well, on Sunday mornings, sometimes we come and our clothes are very nice. Our tie is very nice. It matches our suit. Our dresses are beautiful. Our smile is big. Right?
Well,
But inside, I'm sorry. But inside, oftentimes, we're hurting. You see, and we're going to read the passage in just a moment again. And thank you, Brandon, for reading it already for us. But we're going to go through it one more time. But I want to make some observations about Zacchaeus. You see, one of the things we find out about him is he was very successful. One of the first things we learn about Zacchaeus is he was a tax collector and he was rich. He was very wealthy. And when I read this story, I was reminded of a celebrity who just recently lost their life. As an American child, see, I grew up watching Robin Williams. Robin Williams. Very funny, very successful, a very talented actor. He could do comedy, he could do drama, he could do just an amazing amount of success in his life. And for me, looking on the outside, I might even be envious of his life. I'd see money and fame. He could have anything he wanted. Yet Robin Williams took his own life, tragically. And how many of those stories do we hear about all the time? And yet, we still believe the lie, don't we? That money, that success, worldly success, like that's going to make us happy. That didn't seem to work out so well for Zacchaeus, did it? You see, Zacchaeus, a very wealthy man, had power, had prestige. Nobody liked him. Okay, let's be real. Nobody liked the tax collectors. Only tax collectors liked each other. Everybody else hated him because they stole from them. That was part of the common practice, was to take their money away from them. Just, can you imagine Bill Gates, Bill Gates is, right? Very successful, one of the wealthiest men on the planet. Can you imagine Bill Gates climbing a tree just to see who's coming down the street? He would never humiliate himself like that, would he? But that's exactly what he did. You see, I think when Zacchaeus began to hear the rumblings that the Messiah, the Jesus that came to save the lost, to seek and save the lost, that he was coming, Zacchaeus had to see him. He knew that it wasn't working for him. All the success, all the money wasn't enough. And so this is when the story takes on a common a line. Like, we all know this story. Jesus gets to where Zacchaeus was. He looks up in the tree and he sees him. And he says, Zacchaeus, I think it's so amazing that Jesus knew him. He called him by name. He said, Zacchaeus, come down with me. I'm going to come to your home. But that conversation would have never happened had Zacchaeus not understood that he was lost, that he was suffering, that all the success was never going to be enough. He had to finally realize that. Now, before you get too nervous, this is not a sermon about wealth and about that wealth is bad or anything, because it's not. That's a lie. That's not what this sermon's about. Growing up as a child, my eighth grade Sunday school teacher was one of the wealthiest men in the restaurant business in America. His name was Truett Cathy, and he was the founder of Chick-fil-A. Very, very successful. Yet I remember weekend after weekend going to his home. If you did not know this was Truett Cathy's house, you would never know that a man of great wealth lived there. See, all of us as his Sunday school class, we were all invited to come over every weekend and help him work which is really funny. He owned a cattle ranch. So we would work his cattle ranch. So all the work that's involved, and he was always right there with us, doing all the work, and just a very humble and giving man who loved Jesus. So it has nothing to do with wealth. It has everything to do with your heart. So the bottom line here is, I believe that if Jesus came, and I believe he did, if Jesus came to seek and save the lost, you must first understand that you're lost. You see, do you see where I'm going? Like most of us, if we have money, we have, like in America, we have a big salary with a 2.5 car garage, and we have 2.5 kids, and you, go ahead. But that's success in America, isn't it? That's happiness. That's a lie. True happiness, true joy can only be found in Jesus. So this morning's sermon or teaching, it's really about you understanding that you are lost. And the only way you're going to be found is through Christ. You have to understand what your injury is before you can understand how to treat it. Most of us, especially in Texas, we have a real hard time asking for help, acknowledging that we need help. We really struggle with that, don't we? However, until you get to that point, Jesus is no good to you. He didn't come to seek and save the found. He came to seek and save the lost. And continuing that thought, it's not over when we become a believer, is it? See, if it was over when we became a believer, then sanctification would not be an ongoing process. So my prayer for all of us this morning is, see, some of you are lost and you don't know it. And some of you are, you became a believer, but you've lost your way. Either way, you're in a bad spot. And my prayer for you is that Jesus would reveal to you your lostness. And that you would run back to him. Let's look at another passage. We're going to go to Mark. Let me look at. I'm so sorry. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. And let's look at verse 36. Just to kind of, again, this isn't anti-wealth. This is the right perspective of wealth. And these are Jesus' words in Mark 8:36 in the book of Mark. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? My father is a military veteran. Military. He served in the United States Navy. And apparently my dad had gone through some times of battle. And that's where I first heard the phrase, there are no atheists in a foxhole. So in other words, when the bombs are coming in and you truly fear for your life, almost everyone is quick to cry out to God to save their life. You see, failure oftentimes will kill you. It will take your life. But you see, success, it will bury you alive. You see, when we're so successful, and like for me, I've had success. I had success academically. I did extremely well in college and in my graduate work. All those things. So it would be easy for me academically to say, oh, I have this. I can do this. I, right? And maybe you're successful financially and it's, oh, I got this. There's no, I have financial security. Nothing can take my money away from me. You see, the problem with that thought is anyone who thinks like that, you forgot history. You all remember the great, well, maybe you don't. In the United States, we had something called the Great Depression in the 1930s. Go on to the 1970s and we had the oil crisis. Millionaires lost everything. How about it was early 2000s, and the real estate bubble busted. I mean, even me, when it all cleared, all the dust settled, I'd lost almost $32,000 because of the real estate bubble bust. Money doesn't mean anything. It can come and it can go. You see, Jesus doesn't come and go. Your only security can be found in Him. So let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, whether we are successful or not in the eyes of man, let us never, ever depend on that. Lord, my prayer is that each and every one of us within this room would follow You. Lord, You seek to save the lost. Lord, we acknowledge that we're lost and we need a Savior. Thank You, Father, again for all that You do in our lives, and I ask Your blessings over everyone in this room. Amen.